Take your Bible, if you will, this morning. I want you to turn to Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. Once you arrive at Job chapter 1, I'd like for you to find verse number 17. Job chapter 1, verse number 17. Let me make a comment or two right before we read the scripture. This morning's sermon is called Job's View of Finances. Job's View of Finances. And I'm going to talk about giving. So if that startles you, go ahead and get startled real quick, and then I'll give you a head start on being startled. Job's View of Finances. Job chapter 1, find verse number 17. Stand with me if you would. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently, and we'll stand out of respect to the Word of God. I'm going to read from Job chapter 1, verse 17, all the way through the end of the chapter, which is verse number 22. The Bible says this, with verse 17, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Verse 21 and 22 are quite interesting. I do want you to notice that a great wind came and did some destruction in this story. We faced that here a few weeks ago. But notice that Job, he said, I came forth out of my mother's womb naked. I will die and go away naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in it all, he did not sin or charge God foolishly. In other words, he kept his spiritual sense during his financial difficulty, if you will. The sermon this morning is called Job's View of Finances. It's going to be, again, very simple, very practical. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Lord, bless us now with thy presence. Lord, it sure is fantastic to be together as your children in your house. It's wonderful to see our friends, our family, our loved ones. It's wonderful to spend time together. I'm delighted. There's no accident here. There are people that are guests. There are some that we've not seen in a while, and they're back in our area visiting. There are those, of course, Lord, that are here week after week after week. And I am just excited and delighted that this exact crowd has gathered here together today. But Lord, your presence is the ultimate in making this service what it needs to be. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you will reach down from heaven and in a supernatural way speak to our hearts. I yield myself to you, and may you be glorified, exalted, and uplifted and pleased with what is said and done here today. God, I do not have the ability to convict men's hearts, but you do. So I pray that you will speak to hearts. I will yield my voice as the tool by which it could be accomplished, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to come back to the verses here in Job chapter 1 in a moment. Listen right this way. Look right this way. Young people, look this way. Don't talk now. Listen to me real, real carefully. Let me tell you this right off the bat. All of our bills here at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church are paid. We're not under some financial stress. Sometimes people think a pastor gets up and talks about finances because the church is collapsing. Our church is not collapsing. Got $781 worth of pennies just last week, as you know from our building program. And let me tell you this, and I said this just a week or so ago, when the hurricane came upon us, we were unable to have some of our services. And of course, we had people that were scattered and evacuated here and there and didn't get to take offerings. And, you know, if you were a business and you got hit day after day after day and you could not bring income in, it's hard on you. If we are a business, we are the biggest business in the world, God's business. But we were unable to take offerings, and so the offerings just kind of took a crash. The offerings since have come back up, and they're strong. And the Lord provided above what our normal weekly budget would be, which then supplemented or fixed the weeks that we were down. So I don't come to you today because I'm not here to tell you the sky is falling. That's not the case. We have enough money to pay our bills. We're not a rich church at all. I feel like I want to make that observation or that information available to you. Folks, so many things that I preach, if you're not careful, you'll think that we're trying to do something that's good for a variety of reasons. But I want you to know, I try to preach what I preach because I think it's good for you. And I don't mean this in a wrong way. I hope you don't take this wrong. You need to give because it's good for you. Did you know the Lord will take care of my church whether you give or not? And I'm not trying to be snotty. When I'm being snotty, you will know it. But honestly, if you think, well, they just want my money, not really. You just need God, and if you want God to bless you, there's some behaviors that you need to be guilty of, if you will. I have it set up here. I don't count the offerings. There are other people that do that. Matter of fact, I never see the offerings. They leave they leave this auditorium, and they're taken and put in a safe, and I choose that. I don't look at anybody's tithing record. I don't look at your tithing envelopes. I never have. Never looked at one single in all my years in the ministry. I've chosen not to do that for a reason. You say why? Because I can stand up here and say what I want to say, and I can't. You can't say, well, he's talking to me. That must be God talking to you, because I don't know whether you give or not. I have no idea at all. Now, I have the right to, as the pastor, if you will, the CEO of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, I can look at those records, but I've chosen not to. I don't want to. I just know this. I know that there are some things that all of us could grow in regard to our giving and in regard to finances, and I'm going to talk about that today. If you're a guest and you say, oh, no, this is what I worried about, you don't have to worry. I hardly ever do anything like this. I hardly ever say anything about this. But today, I'm going to talk about Job's view of finances. Listen to this verse. It says in Job 1:21, and this is Job, says, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a great attitude. Now, you have to understand the story. Job was a businessman, maybe the wealthiest man on the face of the earth, and he just lost a ton of money. Winds came, a hurricane came, and it knocks down a house, and he loses a whole bunch of his family. Prior to that, he'd lost his business of cattle and his business of camels and all of his servants, and wow, he lost and lost and lost and lost. But he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a pleasant, good attitude this guy had. I think Job knew this. Have you ever heard someone say, you can't take it with you? You can't take it with you. Well, truth is, you can't. In April of 2018, a young man, you won't know him, his name is Sharon Shukheda. He died. He was age 33. He was a multimillionaire, and had built and governed or overseen a real estate empire, not a name that you know. And so, you know, there are a lot of wealthy, wealthy people out there, and you have no idea who they are. This guy was 33 years of age. He was buried in a solid gold casket. Now, we're talking about 6 months ago, buried in a solid gold casket. they put all of his expensive jewelry on him, and they said hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry on his corpse in his gold casket. There was a special built hearse. It was a Bentley. Of course, you understand. Do you have any idea how heavy a gold casket would be? A special built Bentley hearse that cost, you know, it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars to take this guy to his grave. Think of all that. I wonder where he thought the gold casket and the jewels were going to end up. Now, if he wasn't saved, they weren't going to do him any good in hell. And if he was saved when he got to heaven, say if he rolled in, he said, "Look, I got this gold casket with me." The Lord said, "Put it over in that pile. I fill chuck holes up here with that stuff." But he died, and not a bit of it was going to do him any good after he died. And then I was thinking about, I don't know how much you've ever looked at the Egyptians, and many of them buried their treasures in the pyramids with them. And they would surround themselves with gold and jewels and precious stones, and virtually billions and billions of dollars worth of you just name it, they would take with them. And do you know their basic premise or philosophy was, this will help me enter the next life with security. Now, you and I, when we look at that and we understand what the Bible says, that is the biggest lie of the devil. And those, and I mean this, those poor people. And King Tut said, "I'm not poor." Yes, you are, buddy. You didn't take a lick of it with you. Not a lick of it. I love Job. I love that Job was so, hey, Job was easy to understand. Job said this again in Job 1:21, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And with all that, Job didn't end up sinning. He didn't turn on God. I love it. Job was brilliant. Job simplified this thing of money and all. He simplified it for us. I'm going to see if I can help. Could I recommend this to everybody here? Always do right by God financially. And may I also say to everybody here, make sure that you're willing to help people. Help people. You know, you're all going to find out something someday. There's going to be two things the day that you're on your deathbed. They're going to mean anything. Number one, how you got along with God. And number two, how you got along with people. And everything else is going to be pretty minimal. It's not going to be that important. And I want to do this. I'm going to kind of unfold finances in a real simple, simple way, and especially giving. And it's going to be way too simple. But I think our God simplifies things so even a dumb old country boy like me could understand it and grasp it. And I think maybe if you'll listen, I'll show you something. And I hope for some of you, you might strengthen your understanding of giving, giving to the church, giving to God, helping other people. But let me get started. Number one, we all start this life with nothing. We all start this life with nothing. Job said in Job 1:21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb." Everybody starts with nothing. I have four children. I was present for the birth of all four children. I got to see exactly what Job said. When my children came forth, they had nothing. I have a picture that Jack, who is back in children's church right now preaching, I've got a picture that Jack sent me of little Oliver when he was born a couple weeks ago now. And when Oliver was born, Oliver did not have a tuxedo on. He did not have any fancy shoes with bells on them. And I'm not sure boys like bells on their shoes anyway. That's something women created. You ask any boy once he grows up, you like bells on your shoes. No boy wants bells on his shoes. But that's not what the sermon's all about. Oliver did not have on a Rolex watch. He did not have a personally engraved ink pen in his pocket. There were no diamond necklaces or rings. Oliver had nothing. All four of my children were born with nothing. And by the way, you were born with nothing. Nothing. You started your life with only life as a possession. By the way, that's very valuable.
Yes, sir.
And what you need to do is end your life with that. We hope eternal life. From the world's view, we all start poor and we all die poor. But folks, let me tell you, when you go in the grave, you do understand it's over.
Right.
You started with nothing. And you're going to end with nothing. You only got one chance. Is that you could find some place to send some, and it could meet you there. But it's not going to happen in hell. Okay, so point number one is pretty simple, huh? We start life with nothing. Number two, God then begins to give to us. Let me give you some scripture. Job 1:21, it says, the Lord gave. That's what Job said. Remember, the Lord gave, and in a little while we find out the Lord can take away. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, God is the creator of all things. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So God's the creator of all things. The Bible says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God is the true owner of all things. God is the creator of all things. God then, whether you understand this or not, God then begins to lend to us what we need. Psalm 37:26 says, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. You and I, we get God is lending to us what we need. In James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. John 3:27 says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You say, I work for everything I have. Well, you were standing on somebody else's world, breathing somebody else's air, eating somebody else's food. God created it all. And everything you have, you got from God. You say, what about the wicked people? They got it from God too, whether they realize it or not. And they owe him a bigger debt than what they realize. So, folks, real simply, we all started this life with nothing. And if you don't believe it, call your mom. She's going to tell you how this started out for you. Then God begins to provide. I was with my oldest son yesterday for a couple of hours, and we were in his shed. And I don't remember how long he's been married now, but when we were in the shed, we were cleaning stuff out, and he said, Dad, it is outrageous the amount of stuff I have. And I was thinking about my sermon. For most of you, don't you have a lot of stuff? Where'd you get the stuff? Somebody gave it to you. You say, I earned it. Who gave you the breath to breathe? Listen. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. That word nothing there in the Greek Koine language means nothing. Psalm 26:10 says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Folks, we live on a borrowed earth. We eat borrowed food, and we breathe borrowed air. God brings all good things to us. Everything we have is because of God. And I'm not just talking to, people with money. I'm talking to everybody here. Whatever you have, it was provided to you by God. So, I started out with nothing, and then God began to give to me. God began to lend to me. Number three, God then teaches us to give some back to Him. He then starts teaching, give some back to me. Acts 20:35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Notice God said, you need to remember, those are the words of Jesus Christ. So you all know those are not the words of Jeff Owens. They're not the words of Howard Hughes. Those are not the words of Donald Trump. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You wonder why God has everything, because God is the ultimate giver. And you say, well, God's really blessed. Right. He is the epitome of the truth and the fulfillment of it is more blessed to give than to receive, because everything you have, He gave you. Anything out there that has anything got it from God. There should be no real problem then if God begins to ask that we give something back. Remember, you started with how much? Nothing. And then God began to provide and God began to give. Then we go to step three, and then God says, I want you to maybe give back. God has that right. How in the world could that then be a problem for us? I couldn't tell you how many people have a problem with God's request to receive. I guess they don't know where they got it. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Now, they're saying that God prospers us, and he says that every one of us, not some of us, every one of us, that we are then to give back to God because God has prospered us. Let me read a scripture to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be some meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Here God is teaching a thing called the tithe, that is giving to God a tenth of... That doesn't seem right. He only wants a tenth back when he gave me 100%. But that's what the tithe is, as taught in Malachi chapter 3. Luke chapter 6, verse number 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, giving back to God is a privilege. Giving back to God is a responsibility. Giving back to God truly is an obligation that we all ought to fulfill. Now, say, Pastor, I don't give offerings, I don't give tithes. Am I in trouble with God? Well, God loves you, and God's not going to take your salvation away from you. It wasn't for sale, and it's not kept by giving money. There are churches that will teach that, and that's not true. But let me tell you this, it's wise for you to handle your finances God's way. I mean, he's the one that knows what he's doing with them. He gave you everything that you have. So I start with nothing, and then God begins to give to me. Then God asks me to give back. Get this. This is almost hard to believe. Then God will reward you for giving to him what he gave you. Somebody should have sat down and had a talk with God before he planned this, because it looks to me like he's getting the short end of the stick. I had nothing. He gave me everything. He asked me to give a little bit back. Then he rewards me for doing it. Notice it said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you. Now, I want you to understand that that's an illustration for a farmer. It's an illustration of grain. They would take a bushel basket and they would fill that bushel basket. Listen to it. It says, given it shall be given unto you good measure. In other words, they're going to fill that basket up with that grain, a good measure. Then they're going to press it down. They're going to press the grain down into the basket. Then they're going to shake it. They're going to refill it until it's running over. I'll never forget how cheated I felt the first time I got a box of Captain Crunch of my own. You all love these powerful scriptural illustrations, don't you? I wanted that box of Captain Crunch. I looked at it. It was this tall and this wide and this deep. And I couldn't wait to tear into it. I thought there was enough Captain Crunch here in to last me for weeks. And I opened it up, and the Captain Crunch in my box, it was about that much in the bottom of the box. And the rest of my box was empty. So one day I was asking someone, they said, well, it got shaken during transport. So it got pressed down. And that's probably true. But maybe they ought to just start with a smaller box for us kids' sake. I mean, we are losing our faith in Kellogg's. But you all understand, it, at one point, if it had been full, once it had been pressed down, there was more room. But this is what God said. I'm going to make sure that there'll be some shaking and pressing. I'm going to fill you to overflowing after it's already been packed and repacked. God said, you give to me, I'll give to you, and I can always outgive you. And He always has, because He was the first giver. You started with nothing. He gave you everything. Then He said, give me a little bit back. You say, that big bad, mean God asking for some back. He wasn't trying to get it because He needed it. He was trying to get it because you needed to give it. You think God needs your money? He owns it all. And if He wants it, He can get it. You can be dead sure. So I'll put it in my safe. There's no safe that God can't crack. He invented numbers. He doesn't have to reward us for giving back to Him. This process is so simple, but it amazes me. I start with nothing. He gives me everything. He says, give me back a percentage. I do, and He says, good boy. He pats me on the head and said, let me give you some other stuff. Brother Pine, what a deal. I like this. Most people can't stand this. You know how many people are angry about this? What right would any human being have to be angry with the one that gave him everything? Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I think God wants to prove something to you. It goes on and says, see, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, when you do this, when you follow this process, God can open the windows of heaven. He can pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I realize there are some people in here this will not apply to. But I can tell you this. There's some people in here, what I'm about to say applies to you in an amazing way. You don't know where to put all your shoes. Think about it. I want you to think about all the clothes that you don't wear that are in storage or crammed away, tucked away. And people don't understand. God said, I'll pour out so much on you, you don't even know what to do with it all. In America, we waste more food than we use. Let me tell you something. If every one of us, if everybody in here would have gone through what some of our dear families went through, we have families in here, they just lost everything during the hurricane. Let me tell you something. If all of us would have lost everything in the hurricane, we couldn't have got enough big dumpsters in this county to receive all your stuff. We couldn't have found the dumpsters because we have so much stuff. You want to tell me that God's not true to what He does? He said, look, you do what I tell you to do, and that there's going to be so much. You're not even going to have room for it all. Then He promises this. In Malachi chapter 3, verse number 11, He said, and then what I'll do is I will rebuke the devourer. You say, what's that? God has a way, sorry Todd, God has a way to make your 50,000 mile an hour, 50,000 mile warranty tires last to 60. Don't tell the guys down at the shop, Todd. God can make your shoes last longer than they're supposed to last. He has a way to protect you financially. What's He doing? Well, He said, okay, you start with nothing. I'll start giving stuff to you. I'll ask if you'll give a little bit back. If you do, I'll reward you. Then I'll help protect your stuff. God's good at that. Now, there's a couple pieces to the puzzle. I got to tell them to you very, very quickly. Now, there's a little part of this that I want you to get. It will help you if you believe God's real and there's a heaven. You say, well, Pastor, everybody in here, you know, basically saved and Christian. I know. But some of the best atheists I know are Christians. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1 says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, let's talk about our God which is in heaven. Folks, there is a heaven. And alms has to do with giving. So many times we do what we do for people, around people, in the presence of people, to impress people. Oh, let me tell you something. Do what you do for God. Do what you do for God. Now, remember, he said in Malachi 3:10, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He said, I can open the windows of heaven. I can take care of you. You're going to prove me. Put me to the test. Now, God won't let you down. When I first got saved, it did not make sense to me. I'll never forget. I really thought that this preacher, what he says, he's just trying to pull the wool over my eyes. He got up and he started talking about giving offerings and giving a tithe. And he said, if you'll tithe, you'll have more. Now, I'm a product of the public school. And I'm thinking, okay, did I miss something in my math class? You give me a 100 and I give you 10 and I have more? No way, baby. You're one of those wacko preachers. You're out to get me. You're taking me to the cleaners. You're going to give me a prayer rag that's been dipped in holy water. And I'm going, what? That can't be possible. And I thought, okay, what do I have to lose? I'll try this. Can I tell you something? Since I was 16 years old, I've been tithing. God has never let me down. And everything has always gone farther than what it should have gone. And I ended up with more, not less, because of God. You say, explain it. I can't. I just believe it. Because it's in the Bible. And anybody here that gives offerings and tithes, they would tell you, I don't know how to explain it. God just does it. But that's what God can do. See, now you got to believe, though, there's this real heaven. We're doing what we do with eternity in view. There's a real God. There's a real heaven with real angels. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and an eternal weight in glory. Yeah. Now, folks, if you're not careful, you'll be an atheist in your giving. You don't really believe there's a heaven and you don't really believe there's a God. I want to highly recommend to you that you believe the Bible. Do you really believe that God is in heaven? Do you really believe that God's true? Do you really believe the souls of men are eternal? Do you really believe that a church and the work that a church does can influence an eternity? Folks, we came out of our mother's womb naked. We will return to the grave naked. You can't take it with you, but you can send some ahead. You say, what about the stock market? Did you see how hard it got hit this week? There is a heavenly stock market that has never suffered loss. Ever. I think by doing what God said, you bring security to personal finances. I think you bring it to business finances. I think you bring it to church finances. Now, you've heard me say this before. Oh, back 15, 16 years ago, some of you will remember our country went through a devastating time financially where they thought the banks were going to close and stock market had basically crashed and people were scared, really bad scared. So I had pastors reaching out to me, and they were saying, you know, when they want real heavy advice, they call me Dr. Owens. I don't like Dr. Owens. So, but the rest of the time, they call me Brother Owens. So, but Dr. Owens, what should we do about our finances? That's what I told everybody. I said, whatever you do, don't stop helping the poor. Don't stop running buses. They said, but isn't that an expenditure? I said, it's an expenditure that God said to never cut out, and God will keep blessing your church. But if you pull into yourselves and you become stingy, God will see that. I said, you keep reaching out and you keep feeding the hungry and you keep helping the poor. God will honor it. And you say, well, I didn't learn that in my economic class. I learned it in the economics of the Bible. It's in there. We can't take it with us, but we can send some ahead. Folks, be careful. If you hoard what God gives you because of a lack of faith, you're doubting heaven, you're doubting God, you're doubting His promises. We've got to learn to trust God. Now, I wouldn't recommend anybody go give all your money away. I think God also teaches you to go to the ant, sluggard, and watch how the ant puts away for a rainy day. And you need to save, and retirement's coming, and you've got to keep those things in mind. But I do also want to remind you, God also says the way to get is to give. And if there's anybody, and listen, I know there are people in here, I never thought I'd worry about this. I begin to think about what Social Security is all about. All I've thought about to this date is I gripe about them taking it out of my check. Now I'm looking at it and saying, here, could I give you some? Is there any way maybe you can give me some of that back later on? My hair's gray enough to know I understand Social Security now. Yeah, and I'm all for it. I want all the help I can get, but I want to make an observation for everybody in here. There are generations and generations of people all around the world that never had Social Security. If you will keep yourself right with God financially, it does not matter what the programs are. God will help you. That's your security. And when you die, you can't take it with you. There's a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 12. I can't read it all to you. But the story is this. There's a man, he had barns and he had riches and everything was going big guns, and he had so much he didn't know what to do with it all. And he said, you know what, I'm going to tear down all my barns and I am going to build bigger barns to hold everything that I have. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Rich toward God. Are you rich toward God? And God warned this man. He said, you better listen to me. You're all about things and your own, providing your own financial security. And the recommendation is make sure you stay rich toward God. Rich toward God is, that's making sure you're being doing right with your money, doing right with your finances. You hear about the wealthy man that died. Some of his friends were at his funeral. One friend said to the other, said, well, where's his widow? And said, well, she's right down front there. Well, how much money? How much money did he leave her? The other friend said, I don't know. One buddy said, I know exactly how much he left her. The guy said, how much? Said, all of it. He didn't take any with him. I'm sure you heard the joke about the guy that he had died, and he had told his wife, said, I want you to put all my money in my casket with me. And she had snuck around, and some had heard about that, and they were closing up the casket, and the pastor came over and said, you didn't put all the money in the casket with him. She said, I sure did. She said, put the check in there this morning. Learn, ladies, learn. Solomon was known for being the richest man on earth in his day. But you know, Solomon didn't take any of it with him. At the time of his death, you will hear Solomon say that wealth and riches, he said, it's vanity. All vanity. Some of you know Dr. Russell Anderson, multimillionaire businessman. One day he said this to me. He said, Brother Owens, I'm going to give my money away the best I can. I want to give it away before I die so it's not wasted after I die. At least I'll know how it was invested while I'm alive. The great C.T. Studd, a famous missionary, started out as a successful cricketer. That would be, to most of you, a baseball player. He was a great batter playing cricket. Like a professional baseball player, Studd in his day was probably the Mickey Mantle of his day, and he had lots of money. He also inherited a fortune from his family. But God began to deal with his heart, and he gave it to D.L. Moody and George Mueller and General Booth of the Salvation Army and the Livingstons, who were missionaries. Then he personally went to the mission field. I think Studd had his eyes on eternity, and he realized that there was something more than just taking in. I'm almost finished, and in a second we're going to pray and we'll be on our way. Our church, our bills are paid. You could ask the people that work in our financial office. Our bills are paid. We don't have a lot of money, but we do have some money here at our church. I'm not trying to get the offerings up. I'm not. Don't have any. You know, I don't have any need, if you will. But I need to teach the Bible for your sake, for you. You need to do the right thing. And again, I go back to, I just remember it so well. When I heard about this giving at first, I thought, how could this be? But always remember, God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are above our thoughts. I was talking with somebody one day, and they were so backslidden, it was terrible. Now, this is somebody that had been right with God and in church and on fire for God. They were so backslidden, it was pathetic. Out of church, and I mean living like animals. And as I was talking to them, this is what they said to me. I said, don't you think you ought to get back on track? And they said, yes, Pastor, I need to get back on track. I said, you really need to get some things straightened out and your finances and your life and all of it. And this guy spoke up and he said, I haven't stopped tithing. I'm not that stupid. I'm talking about a guy that was sticking a needle in his arm. He's whacked out. And this is what he said. I have not stopped tithing. I was never going to take that chance. That's what he told me. And I thought, goodness. Somehow the guy had learned, you better not do wrong by God financially. Because it could get worse, I'm sure. Folks, someday, when you get to heaven, if you didn't like something I said today, when you get to heaven, it's probably going to click in your memory and you're going to say, yeah, the preacher was right. This is a real place. Boy, I should have been doing right financially by God. Because He needs it? No, because you need to do it. It's best for you. I promise. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the sermon, the lesson today has been on giving. Oh, but let me tell you something. You could give all the money in the world. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you'll die and go to hell. You could write the church a check for $1 million today and say, hey, will this take me to heaven? No, it will not. You keep your $1 million. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is to realize you're a sinner and that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected for sinners. You need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. That's what gets you to heaven. It is a free gift paid for by Jesus Christ. You receive that and you go to heaven. Is there anybody here that would say today, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm born again. Would you put your hand up where I can see it and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. All right. Then let me ask the question this way. How many of you could say here in church today, if I died today, I know for a fact there's been a time when I asked Jesus into my heart to save me. I know I'm born again. Would you raise your hand so God can see it? God bless you. Excellent. You may put your hands down. I'm going to ask the next question, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Are you right with God financially? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. Are you right with God financially? Have you never learn to give offering and tithe? Are you backsliding in regard to it? Get it fixed up. Oh, can I recommend that you get it fixed up? You say, I can't afford to. You may not understand this, but I'd say you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. We're going to have a time of altar call. Now, a more general question. Who here today would say, Pastor, there's no doubt in my mind, God has spoken to my heart today in one way or another in regard to what I've heard. God has spoken to me. Would you raise your hand and let God see that? I'm not asking any commitment about your financial status with God. You may put those hands down. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. We're going to stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if you need a moment at the altar, why don't you come? Some of you need to rekindle your faith in God and rekindle your faith in heaven. You don't have to worry. The sermon tonight's not on finances. I'm not going into a series on talking about finances. But somehow God made it real clear to me. God, I came into this world with nothing. I'm going to leave this world with nothing. How I behave financially between here and there, I must be important to God. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you just need to come and apologize to God and say, Lord, I kind of got behind here. I've not done what I'm supposed to do. Or you say, Lord, help me. Help me to do right. Help me to learn how. And let me tell you something to help a lot of you. You say, I don't know how I would give and it work into my finances. Maybe you need to get some counsel about how to budget. Maybe you need some counsel about how to in a more organized fashion, handle your money. Job had a fantastic handle on this thing. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, listen, I'm not glad that anybody lost anything in the hurricane. Not at all. Remember this. They're things. If you have your life, that's a very precious thing. You're alive. That's a precious thing. If you lost things, I hate it for you. My heart is broken for the things that you lost. But remember, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You never see a U-Haul trailer being pulled behind a hearse. Not taking anything with us. One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah. It won't be long, we'll be on our way. Give and it shall be given unto you, the Bible teaches. You say, well, Pastor, the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. And I'm not real happy about giving, therefore I don't give. Well, God may love a cheerful giver, but I'll take money from even an old grump. So you could go ahead and give and it'll all be okay. God was not justifying, if you have a bad attitude about it, that you shouldn't give. He was just telling you to be better off having a good attitude about it. I don't think you were released from giving because you're soured about giving. That's not it. That's not it at all. And thank you, Sarah.